with the song. Obviously, the poem was inspirational, but as time goes on, we'll see that plays and stories and liturgical works and even artworks inspired music above and beyond song.
Yes, this was very, as I told you, it was very important for him to have a stimulus, and usually it came from the word,
mm-hmm.
but not really always. Sometimes outside stimuli would translate themselves then through the medium of the song or the poem. For instance, it's hard to believe, but the Stündlein wohl vertagt, which is so eerie and everything. Even he brought it to me and played it to me, and I was the first to hear it. He said, you know, this morning I saw this pigeon on the windowsill.
Amazing.
and you know, nothing in the poem or in the thing would relate to such a thing.
No,
but it
not
was,
at all.
It was, you know, maybe bird or something. And then he got stirred by it. It was, of course, an expression of the mood he was in at that time, because he was in an extreme anxiety. You know, our relationship was... I would speak about this later, you know.
What factor... No, go ahead.
No, I don't really...
What factors affected his choice of a poem? Was there any common denominator, or was...
Well, there was constant turmoil in his soul.
Mm-hmm.
He was very restless and very, very unhappy most of the time. And I think, for instance, he looked for texts that would give him quiet. He was kind of trying to heal himself. And there for night songs, that he made so many night songs.
Yes.
That was like he would give himself a medicine and quiet down the stormy soul of his. He loved especially, for instance, the first night song, I Wander Through the Night. And it expressed his... the feelings that he had at this time, and that they're pretty much the same, but especially strong in his youth, where everything was unsolved.
Yes.
So to say. And what was it what you wanted to know?
Well, one thing that amazed me is the broad taste he has in selecting poets. I see a little bit more clearly now. Some of his friends brought poems, and did he read widely too, searching for texts?
No, that was the funny thing. Mm-hmm. I think he had very good taste in his selections.
Yes.
And they were mostly of a much, above average lyrical and poetic quality whenever he composed something. And yet he was not a reader at all. Mm-hmm. And I very often made fun of him, because I'm a very ardent reader. And he was never reading, but he was, of course, all the time reading the scores.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a on-track person. I think he never knew what the real contents of Lohengrin were. I think he knew the score from A to Z, every note of it. But the text... in this way, the text didn't interest him.
I see.
But he had this feeling for text and for real quality.
Mm-hmm.
And for instance, I think the only book that he had read up to then, later on in life, here in America, he read quite a bit, especially in the last years of his life.
I see.
But then I was always kidding him that the only book he had ever read was Hauff's Märchen.
Hmm?
You know, he loved fairy tales, and this was one of his favorites. But he could, at the same time, and would do it for fun, imitate Schiller or Goethe, but in such a way that you would think they had written this thing, you know.
Hmm.
So he needed not much to get the gist of something, you know, and exactly what made it. I think that his texts are all, most of them, very well chosen for
their
quality.
Oh, yes. And beginning with this set of three songs, Zeisel comes upon the stage, as it were, and is recognized, and perhaps from the year 1922 to about 1930, we see a continuing and growing recognition of his talents in Vienna and beyond,